God's Word is always good, and tell you what, it's always a privilege to be able to share that, and today I pray that what we share will just mean some real depth to you as a believer, because if you were to look at the history of Christianity, there's a lot of people that don't make it. There's a lot of people that don't keep walking with God. You know as well as I do, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So what happens between the day you began and the day you finish is what's crucial. Anybody can start, that's easy. And anybody can quit, that's easy. But to walk it out is take some guts, determination, some discipline, some training of yourself. It's what literally means to be a disciple. Disciples never quit. They didn't take a vacation. They didn't go on their own other than Peter. And, of course, Judas. But we have examples all the way through Scripture of seeing people that didn't make it. That should concern us. That should be something that constantly stirs in me, like, well, what happened? Why didn't they make it? What stopped them from making it? And I'll be honest with you this morning. I didn't know what I was going to talk to you about until about 8:30 this morning. And it was on the way here. It's the first time in I don't know how many years, probably 2-3 years, I've ever come that early to church. But it was interesting, as I was coming to church, for the first time in probably 2 to 3 years, there was a fox at the end of my driveway. A fox. It wasn't my wife. No, just she wasn't out exercising or anything like that. No. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? He says, well, remember the little foxes that destroyed the vine. So with us, I want to encourage you. You might be having a great day today. You might be walking in an awesome time of what God's doing, but don't ever get comfortable just because you had a victory. Just because things are going well, don't relax and say, well, I can just coast from here. No, you have to consistently stay in the game. You got to stay in there and do whatever God's asking you to do. And that's what we see in John chapter 15 when Jesus was talking about the vine and the branches. And he says in verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Now stop right there just for a second. Do you think it's ever God's intention that we not make it? No. So we know that God's rooting for us. You know that God is up there just waiting for you to get through this plan that He has for our lives, so that when we die and come to that place of death, we can be escorted right into the throne room of heaven. But that doesn't happen just because we exist here. That doesn't happen just because we live here. There's some responsibility that takes place on our part of making sure that what takes place in me is of God's Word. It's of God's plan. Because you and I can be grafted into Christ. Well, guess what? I can also graft myself into other things. I can graft myself into things that are not of God as quickly as I got myself grafted into God. But the reality is this, if I graft myself into something other than God, what purpose does God have? If I'm going to have a love affair with the world or something other than Christ, what does that do to my relationship with Him? You see, the reality is this, it's easy to start this Christian life. Many times when we get saved, we're excited. We're ready to take the world. We're ready to do whatever it takes. And, you know, some of the Christians in one church said, oh, don't worry. Won't be long and you'll be just like the rest of us. Why? Why do we settle back in to kind of exist rather than live with purpose and live with the desires that God is? Because many times we graft ourselves into other things than Christ. But I see in Scripture that God wants us to flourish. God wants us to grow. God wants us to mature. God wants us to bear fruit for Him. Not for ourselves, but for Him. And I find what happens in many times is we stop bearing fruit. And we think that that's okay with God. Well, if you put that in the natural realm, if a tree doesn't bear fruit in your yard, a pretty good chance you're going to uproot it and plant something else. If the seed that I was planting in my garden this year didn't produce anything, I'm not going to keep that seed around because it didn't produce. Even if I cared for it and watered it and fertilized it, it's not going to do much for me. But the reality is that God designed you and I to bear fruit for His kingdom. He designed us to bear fruit all the way through life, all the way through, and not be handicapped or not be held back or become sterile where we don't produce anything for the kingdom. So He says, Jesus Himself says, I'm the true vine. That means He's the one that has all the life in it. He's the roots of the operation. He's got all the life He needs. He's got everything from His Father. And He says, and My Father is the gardener. So Daddy's going to come and He's going to prune me. Just like my natural dad did. Old Red, yeah. Pruning isn't always that much fun. When God desires to prune me, it may not be the most enjoyable thing in your walk. But it's not because He hates you or doesn't like you. It's so that you can bear more fruit. Because He prunes off things in my life so that I can bear more fruit. I'll never forget, I don't remember how many years ago, Carolyn had a bunch of tomato plants and they were big and luscious. You remember that? And they didn't have hardly any fruit on them. But boy, were they big and green. Well, we didn't get many tomatoes out of that thing. Why? Because it gave all its life to the vine. And it didn't produce much for fruit. And so she consulted a few people and got some ideas of what to do and different things. So you know what one of them was? Began to prune. Began to take off some branches that were eating the life out of the tree. You know what? That's the same thing for you and for me. You and I can come to the place where we grow less fruit because so much is going to everything else other than what God had intended for my life. That is so easy to do that it becomes real, we need to be really aware of those kinds of things. So He says, He's a gardener, Father's a gardener. Verse 2, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Have you given God liberty to do that in you? Because He won't prune you unless you give Him liberty. He's a perfect gentleman. He'd love to prune me more than I already am. But I got to give Him liberty to do that. Because with pruning comes responsibility. God is not going to take me in another area of responsibility if I'm not willing to do what I need to do where I'm at right now. Why would God ask me to step into something else if I'm not doing what He's already asked me to do? Does that make sense? So God would love to prune me more. He'd love to work in me. He'd love to break off some things that are absolutely of no value to me. And I tell you, that's a hard thing, not only for individuals, but it's sometimes hard for churches. We've done this for 35 years. And your point is, nobody likes it. Or nobody wants to do it anymore. You have to beg people to do it anymore. Well, maybe it's time that He prunes that part of us. Maybe that's part of the things that God wants to prune so that it looks more like Him rather than like us. Does that make sense? And so when God begins to prune me or He begins to prune His church, it's not always that enjoyable, but the result is what we need to look at. What is God's result in pruning me? Watch. Verse 2, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now, you might say, well, I think it's fruitful. Well, that's great and dandy, but what does God think? Does God really see the benefit of what's happening in your life and my life? Is just because I enjoy doing it, just because I want to do it, doesn't mean that God's all on board. Therefore, I have to allow Him, like we have this morning, to let the Holy Spirit have His way in me, where He changes me, He molds me, He shapes me, He allows me to be placed in His hands where He can begin to manipulate, not, I don't want to say manipulate, maneuver my life. Maybe that's the same thing, I'm not sure. But He begins to put His hands on me to make me look like He designed me to be. And if I allow Him that privilege of doing that, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to become more fruitful for the kingdom, not for myself. When I become fruitful for the kingdom, what does that benefit? That benefits God and it benefits man. But when you and I look good and produce nothing, it doesn't benefit God or man. Oh, the only thing it'll really benefit is a pat on the back. Boy, you look good. Don't know what you are, but you look good. Well, the reality is that God wants us to look like Him. He wants us to produce fruit like Him. How is that going to happen? It happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to come and begin to transform me and change me by the written Word of God, first of all, and by the working of the Holy Spirit that moves in our midst and moves in our lives as we're driving down the road and the Holy Spirit begins to apprehend something in my life and I say, yes, Lord. Then He begins to move and maneuver some things so that I begin to become that perfect image of what He wants me to look like. But I promise you, even after He's done shaping and molding, within a certain amount of time, He'll come and He'll begin to shape and mold again. Can I not do with you as a potter does with the clay when he molds and shapes it and he puts it into a place, and when he sees that he needs to rearrange, he puts his hands back on the clay and begins to mold and shape it. Why? Because of the master's perception. Because of the master's plan. The one that created me has a design for me. This pulpit is designed to be a pulpit. It makes a horrible coffee table. It's too high. It's slanted. It's sloped. It's designed by the designer to be a pulpit. We could tear it apart and make something out of it, but that isn't productive because it's hard. It's not shapeable. It doesn't bend. It doesn't move. Why? Because it wasn't meant to. But your life and my life are meant to be shaped and molded. We are designed by God to never stay the same. Why? Because all the way through your life and my life, there are plans and purposes that God has lined up for your life and my life. And the moment we step into His plan, He can begin to shape me. He can begin to mold me. He can begin to move me. He began to do something in me that I couldn't do before. Why? Because His hands are on me. And you know what? In the shaping and molding, as fine as I look right now, but in the shaping and molding, it's not always that fun. But I'll tell you, when God begins to do things that couldn't be done any other way, all because of His hands being on your life, shaping and molding your person, the person who you are, the words that you say, the things that you've learned, the things that have been deep in your spirit, and all of a sudden they begin to come out, what happens is that begins to shape and mold His life. Her life, your camp, your farm, your work. All, why? Because I'm by design able to begin to do because I've stepped into the mold and the shaping of what God has for my life. You know why want to know why most Christians are bored? Because we're stiff. We don't move. We don't bend. This is the way God made me, and that's the way I like it. Really? Show me where that's at. I don't see that in Scripture. I see where God begins to take a person, He begins to shape and mold and put in positions and lines up in for certain things, for certain reasons. That's why if you ever need to leave New Life Fellowship, we bless you. You know why? Because you're not ours, you're His. And if you step into the line of what God has, we should be applauding because God is doing what He created you for. And for those of you that need to come in yet, we welcome you because we want to enjoy the process of growing ourselves, being shaped and molded, and enjoy the work that God's going to do in your life because you've seen how God has shaped and molded our lives and realize that God is a big God. Look around this morning. You can't find one of us that even looks remotely like. That's creativity. That's amazing creativity. And if God can do that in us, why else would He ever limit Himself to do something of the same box outside of our lives with the church and all that? God wants to remold us and shape us into more of what He has. But you have some responsibility if that's going to happen. Listen to what it says. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the Word. Clean because of the Word. Clean because of the Word. How are you going to get clean? Because of the Word. The Word by itself, a book by itself laying there will not get you clean. If I don't step into the shower and use soap and all that other stuff, I will not get clean. Will I? Well, don't you have a shower at your house? Yeah. How come you don't use it? I don't know. Aren't you a Christian? Yeah. How come you don't read your Bible? I don't know. How else are you going to get clean? How else are you going to come to that place where God can begin to work inside me and you and allow us to become what God... Why? Because of the Word. He says, He was writing to them, He says, you are already clean because of the Word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, here's your responsibility. Remain in Me. So when I get grafted in, when I get grafted into Christ and I get Him in my life and He's my vine, He's my life, He's my everything. Everything revolves out of Him. When I get inside of Him, out of Him comes in me the life that He had when He lived and walked the earth. Think about that. The very same Holy Spirit that allowed Jesus Christ to live a supernatural, powerful life that did everything His daddy asked of Him. Was the same Spirit that now lives inside of me and you. You may say, oh, I could never be like Jesus. Yes, you can. Of course you can. If it wasn't possible, He wouldn't have told you not to be. But He said, be like Jesus. Be imitators of Christ. Well, what does that mean? Do what He did. Say what He says. Act how He acts. Pray like He prays. Do what He does. And I have to learn how to do that, and I will if I'm grafted in to Christ and His Word rather than grafted into life and what it wants. You see the difference? Some Christians try to have the straddle strategy. You got the world over here and you got the God over here, and we're trying to straddle and walk both roads. You won't be good at Christian, you'll be good at being a non-believer. Because God never divides His body, but the world does. You see, once you step into Christianity, He'll never divide Himself. The reason, I won't even get on that, I better not. God will never divide Himself. The body of Christ should never be divided. Never. Never. Come on. It should never be divided. God isn't dividing His body. Man divides the body. So somebody's not listening to the head. And the reason bodies divide is because they're not listening to the one that's in charge. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe He's not. Maybe man's in charge, and that's why we got a divided body. But if you and I surrender under the headship of Jesus Christ, He will never divide Himself. It's impossible. So let's get on board. Link up to the head. If all we had sitting up here was Jesus' head, it's time to link up and become an arm. It's time to link up and become a leg. Somebody's got to be a behind. I don't know who wants that job, but somebody's got to be that. Padding for when you fall or something. I don't know. But, you know, it's time to link up to the head. Get in there and be like Him. Hook up to Him. He's the life. He's the root. He's the vine. We're the branches. He wants us to link up. Then he says, verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. Notice the sequence. If you don't want to remain in Christ, He won't remain in you. That gives you the free right to say, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to do my own thing. Ka-chunk. I'll go do my own thing. And you can do that as long as you want, but I guarantee you when tough days come, you're going to want to go, can you have me back, please? And you're going to want to link up. Why? Because He's a sure thing. Look, it says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. You're in luck today. I've got to go to the nursing home, so I have to be done here real quick. Not bad for 8:30 this morning, huh? God's Word makes it real easy. I have to remain in Him in order for Him to remain in me. Does that make sense? That if this was Jesus and He's the vine and I remain in Him, I can get all the life out of Him that is needed for my life. And guess what? Every single day of your life was provided for when Jesus lived, died, and resurrected to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And when He sat down, He said, it's done. Guess what? Everything Jeff Capel needs in the entire living, breathing life of my life has already been provided in Him. Not one thing is left short. The only thing that's left short is when I unhook from Him, all of a sudden I begin to wonder, well, why isn't God helping me here? Why isn't God helping me here? Why should He? You chose to walk on your own. And the Bible even tell you that no branch can bear fruit by itself. So get back in the link. Get hooked up. Line up and get in there. Allow yourself to be grafted in and stay in that vine. Remain in Him and I will remain in you. Interestingly enough, I think it's no mistake that LaVon was here today with his book and realizing how many times Scripture said things in that one Scripture verse in Matthew. You know that in this chapter alone, I think it's 4 or 5 times, the Bible tells you, remain in Him and He will remain in you. 4 or 5 times. Now my teacher, I wasn't a brilliant student. But my teacher said, anytime I say something more than once, it's probably important. Well, God tells us in a short few verses to remain in Him. Now, what are we doing? Are we remaining or are we just trying to do this on our own and go off and just do whatever we want, when we want, how we want it done? Because if that's going to happen, there's no possible way you'll ever receive everything that is needed because He's already provided it. But it's in Him and in Him only that is provided for. You want to know why people don't finish well? I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because the other one is, depart from me, you wicked and lazy servant. I don't know which one you want to hear, but you've got time to do it right now, so we might as well begin to do it while we're here. And when that day comes, whenever that day comes and my breath is taken away, I want to stand before Him and I want to hear, well done. I might not be well done compared to you. You may not like how I do well done, but that shouldn't matter to me. It should minister to you, but it shouldn't matter what you think. And I think that's one of the little foxes that comes and tries to steal the vine and destroy the vine. He goes on to say in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he will bear. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. I'll leave that up to your imagination, but that certainly is not heaven. If you and I are the branches that are grafted in, how in the world can you not bear fruit and say you're connected to Jesus? That's an oxymoron. That can't happen. So it's time to get in and stay in, because it's for His Father's glory that we bear much fruit. I got to share with you one scripture verse out of Song of Solomon, or your Song of Songs. It's right after Isaiah, or right before Isaiah, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, right after Proverbs, chapter 2. Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, whatever it is in your Bible, chapter 2, verse 15. Obviously, this is a chapter of love and or a book of love. We're not going to get into that part, but we're going to find out why a lot of marriages end up falling apart. In verse 14, it says, "My dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places of the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." All guys should memorize that and say that to your wife. "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." You see, the enemy loves to come and begin to nibble away at the very things that bring life to you. They're little foxes: fear, worry, hatred. Let's just put it in the marriage. There might be somebody else that would meet my needs better. No. Don't blame your spouse. Remember, you picked her, or you picked him. Serious. You picked them. You married them. Don't blame them. But are you thinking about the little foxes? I've got more time. I've got time. I can serve God later. Little foxes that begin to come and begin to nibble at the very thing that's ready to produce fruit in you. Those little foxes come and try to destroy churches. They destroy bodies. They destroy families. They destroy all kinds of things by bringing division. And all of a sudden, it's okay. Oh, that don't matter. No, battle for it. When a church starts seeing division, battle for it. Get in there and battle and say, "Lord, we want to be united under your headship." When your marriage starts falling apart, get in there and say, "God, I want to be united with my spouse under the headship of Jesus Christ." Battle for it. Get in there. Why? Because it's worth it. It's honorable. And it's God ordained that God would put you together. Now, if you're in an abusive relationship, that is not God ordained. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying for believers, for Christians, it's time to get in there and it's time to battle. It's time to not let these little foxes come and begin to divide and conquer and begin to little all kinds of things that would come and try to destroy you. David, a man after God's own heart, how in the world did he have an affair? Because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was known, he grew up, and he learned how to kill the lion and the bear with his hands. And he defeated a giant. How in the world did this giant of a man turn and walk away from the very thing that taught him everything he knew? Saul, do you remember Saul? Saul was anointed by the hand of God. But he didn't end well. He ended up being in such a sad state of affairs that God wished he hadn't made him. And then you've got Peter. You got Ananias and Sapphira. You've got others that did not make it. But I want to share with you one scripture in closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. What's going to keep you from not making it? It's going to be God's Word and your obedience to the Holy Spirit. If you don't do those two things, you won't make it. The Holy Spirit will never lead you away from Christ. That's why I say you can't be, if you're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to make it. Because the Holy Spirit will always lead you to Christ. He will always lead you to the place where you get to enjoy the shelter of the Most High and dwell in the sanctuary of the Most High. He'll lead you to those places. The Holy Spirit will never, ever divide you from God. He'll always lead you to God. So if you find yourself distancing from God, you're not listening. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Prove faithful. You wouldn't know this man just by looking at him that he could save farms. But when you know and you look at the reputation of what he's done, you know he's proven himself. His character, his quality, because he's hearing what God's saying, he's proved himself. Have you and I proved anything to God? Have we proven faithful? Have we we've been given this awesome responsibility? I think about the church. God has given me an awesome church. Have I proven myself faithful to Him? Have I proven myself as a father and a husband and a man? Have I proven myself faithful to Him? If I haven't, then why would God ever give me any more to do what was created in the line of my responsibilities? I don't know about you, but here's one thing I see. We got a lot of people that like to begin. There's some that make it halfway. And then they quit. Then there's some that make it almost 98% of the way. And then they quit. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Jesus. Jesus started. He walked. And he found himself faithful because even his Father said, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, "This is my Son. I want that." And the only way I'm going to get that kind of a verbiage from God is if this word gets inside of me and becomes so much a part of me that absolutely nothing will ever handicap me or stop me from fulfilling every day of my life because I have been committed and proven myself faithful to what He asks of me. I've got a lot of proving yet to do. I'm not dead yet. You're not dead yet. You've got some proving to do. Not to you, but to God. We must prove, show ourselves faithful. We must prove. We must allow God to come. And I don't need to show off to God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when I step in line with what God wants me to do, I just do what He says. He shapes me and He molds me and He puts me in whatever places I get to be in. And He gets there. And when my life is done, I get to stand before Him and He says, "Well done. Come on in. Enjoy the wonderful place I had prepared for you." Why? Because I've proved myself faithful. He says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." I don't know about you this morning, but I've got some proving to do because I'm not dead yet. I've got some life to live. I've got some reasons to do whatever God's asked me to do. And if I do that, I will prove myself faithful to Him. Okay? I pray that you get that same desire inside of you. The same desire that Jesus had that proved Himself faithful. He came, He walked through, He asked Him one time, "Lord, if it be Your will, let this cup pass. But if not, I'll do it." It got tough. It's going to get tough for you. It's going to get tough for me. Those days we know come into everyday life. But in the matter of toughness, how is God shaping and molding me so that I'm a finished product? When I'm done, my breath is taken away. He looks at me and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want that for my life. I might not show it all the time, but that's got to be the Holy Spirit working in me. And I have to allow that work that God wants to do on a daily basis to be so important to me. And nothing else matters. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning we thank you and praise you for the privilege of looking at your word. Lord, I pray that your word sticks out strong and true in my life and this congregation's life. And Lord, that because of what the work that you want done, I pray that we desire more than anything else to prove our faithfulness to you. To prove that we will walk with you, that what you have given us as a responsibility, we will do it, Lord. We'll do it to the best of our ability with your help. And we will prove ourselves once again. Lord, I thank you that you want to do that work in each one of us. And so, Lord, I ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to my life in this congregation if there's anything out of line. That you would deeply convict us to a point where we can't go another day unless we get rid of it. That we make it right so that what you want out of our lives, the branches that are not producing anything, that they would be cut off by the gardener. And that we would begin to look more like Christ. We would begin to talk like we're representatives of Christ. That we would begin to act more like what Jesus did. And Lord, that it would be evident to those around us that we're with you. So Lord, do that work in us this morning. Do that work in me so that we might continue to walk faithfully with you as you desire us to. So Lord, if there's anything in the way, we ask that you would reveal it. Reveal it to us. Because we want to finish well. I want to finish this day, and at the end of this day, I want to hear, well done. You did everything I asked you to. And tomorrow morning when we wake up, I'm ready for more direction to fulfill the work of that day. And Lord, that will happen till we go home. And we get to be with you. So thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of being able to do what it is you want us to do. We look forward to that. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I pray that as you go about your day, that you find that God is directing in the way that He desires. And I'm so thankful you came today, and pray that the Holy Spirit just did what needed to be done inside of you and me. So with that, I do have to scoot out of here, but we'll be glad to see you again. And pray for me as I go to the nursing home that ears are ready to hear God's word, and it does a wonderful work in everyone that hears. So we just really, as you leave today, bless Jay and Paula. Pray for them. Bless them. Walk up to them and just say, can I pray for you? Let them know that you're praying for God to do His will in their life, in that camp. Anybody else? I mean, as you're walking about, you might see a carpenter, Dave Carpenter. Just go and bless him. Pray for his carpenter business or whatever, or guitar, music teacher, whatever it is, all the things that he's getting into. But that God, you know, just pick, as God leads, do that stuff. You're an extension of the body. And just do that. I think of teachers. Bless them, that they minister into those kids. Moms and dads, if they're a stay-at-home mom. Oh, RJ's got a wonderful little Cynthia Ray in the back. Bless that little one. Bless their family. Just give them a great big blessing. And encourage them. That's so important. So important. All right? So, anyway, you're free to go or stay or pray or do whatever you like to do. All within the bounds of Scripture, of course. So God's blessing to you. Have a great day, okay? And we'll see you again.